Hello, my name is Emma and I'm interviewing on behalf of the Wellcome Trust and one another. It's the 8th of September 2009 and it's 4:18 p.m. Can I please ask you for your full name, your date of birth and where you come from?
My full name is Jason Lee Kilby. I was born on the 15th of May 1969 and I've come today from Brithda in South Wales.
How do you feel?
I feel calmer now than I have done for the last 2 days. But I'm still very excited about doing this project.
How did you hear about the project?
I'm not sure if I heard it through like sort of media, whether it was something on the web, or whether it was something I heard on the news. I heard that there was like sort of you could volunteer to participate. And as soon as I heard that it was open, I applied, and I remember looking at the number of applications and it was 200 and something. So you know, I applied very early on. I just fancy doing it. It's something different. It's something once in a lifetime, something that's not going to happen again, or probably won't happen again. And so it's like, yeah, let's do it.
How did you feel when you found you had a place?
I was ecstatic. It's like sort of one of those things that, because I had 2 emails saying I wasn't successful. So the third one, I was actually just about to get to bed on a Friday night, Saturday morning. The email came up saying congratulations, you got a place, and it was like sort of oh my goodness. And then the next thing you check is what time slot is it, and it was like sort of 5 o'clock in the afternoon. You think, oh fantastic, you know, what a great time slot as well. So yeah, it was just then like sort of checking the date and saying yeah, it wouldn't be a problem.
Is there anyone watching today?
I brought my partner with me. There's also a few people or book crossers who will have also come down to support me from around the country, and because there's some book crossers from abroad, they've also come to see me here in London today. But I've also got loads of people online looking as well who couldn't make it, and so they're going to be looking live or at the streamed link afterwards.
Can you tell me what book crossing is?
Book crossing is something that was started in America about 6 or 7 years ago, and basically it's a way of following a book, tracking a book, where it goes to and who reads it. You register a book online, it's given a unique number. That number will then like sort of be entered onto the net. You read it, leave a review, and you can leave the book, you can do whatever you like with the book. Book crossers tend to leave them on park benches, on cafe tables, up trees, wherever they feel they want to leave it. People can pick it up, can take it with them and can say they've got the book and continue its journey. It's a way of like sort of spreading reading, making books available, and it's something that we all feel passionately about, and it's something that I enjoy doing.
Does it cost any money to take part?
It doesn't cost any money other than the cost of the books, but it doesn't, you know, you don't need to buy books, it can be books that you've already got, and it's like sort of it's free to leave it wherever you want to leave it, and the joy that you get when you get a journal entry of someone who's picked it up and is going to read it again.
How did you get into book crossing?
A friend of mine told me about book crossing, and when it was like sort of described, he thought, oh fantastic, there'll be books everywhere. It doesn't quite work like that. But it is, I found my first book the other day in a coffee shop, and I was really thrilled with that. But it is fantastic. I mean, sometimes you feel you just want to drop it and run because you feel a bit self-conscious about it. But I've got to the stage now where, yeah, I can answer the questions if I'm asked about it, and I can spread what we're doing there across in.
What kind of books do you like to read?
My main fare is mystery and thrillers and biographies. But again, through book crossing, because you get recommendations from friends, and you tend to like sort of diversify. Somebody will recommend a book that you wouldn't normally pick up in a bookshop, and you really like it, and you can then find like sort of other authors and other like sort of genres that you enjoy, and you can start reading them.
Tell me a little bit about where you live.
Yeah. Brithda is in the Rumney Valley. It's part of the Borough of Caerphilly. It lies about 20 miles north of Cardiff. It probably has a population of about 1,000 to 1,500. It's an old mining village. It was connected with the mines. Unfortunately, now it's like sort of it's moving down a little bit. There used to be lots of trade there with like sort of shops and pubs and social institutions. It's not quite so much like that. There is still a great presence of being in a community. Everybody will help each other. And yeah, it's just a great place to live. It's very quiet and not many people pass through it.
Did you grow up there?
I didn't grow up there. I lived in Rumney, which is 5 miles further north than Brithter, which again is a slightly bigger town and is on the heads of the valleys. It like sort of there's more going on there and everything, but when I was looking for a house, it was important for me to have a train line to get into work to Cardiff. Brithter's on the same train line as Rumney, and the house that like sort of was suitable came up, so that's where I moved to.
What was your childhood like there?
My childhood, yeah, it was very good. I mother and father, two sisters. We grew up in a four-bedroomed terraced house, end of terrace, a council house. Always loving and giving. I suppose looking back, I can see like sort of the sacrifices my parents made through like sort of to make us happy, I suppose. But yeah, always had a good time. Always willing to like sort of very always having a laugh in the household. Yeah, very happy indeed.
What jobs did your parents
do? Dad was a JCB driver to begin with. He's like sort of always used his hand. He was also a stonemason for a while, monumental stonemason. At the moment, he's a caretaker in the local school. My mother did part-time jobs. I suppose housewife is what she would have been called. She used to do lollipop warden, road crossing warden, when I was in school, and now she's a dinner lady in the school.
Was there any mining connections in your family?
Money connection?
Mining.
Mining? No, none at all. I know that like sort of from looking back at like sort of history, my father's grandfather was into tin mining, and he came up to South Wales, and I think he came to South Wales because of the coal mines, but that was it, and there was like sort of nothing else in the family other than that.
Do you remember much about that in the mines in your childhood?
I can't remember. I mean, when you like sort of look back at history, I mean, I read that some of the mines, you could still see them in the early 70s, but I don't really have a memory of them as such. It's only like sort of the bigger mines that carried on into the 80s that you remember. But like sort of some people within like sort of the community will talk about, yeah, having seen lots of mines and say there was one here and another pit there. So yeah, it did happen, but I can't remember anything about it.
What do you do in Cardiff?
I'm a resource planning manager for one of the banks. It's a job I enjoy. I love working with numbers. It's in the call centre industry, it's trying to get the right number of people in at the right time to answer the calls. So my remit will look at the strategy of like sort of getting the calls in, when they'll actually hit us, and looking at the telephony strategy, does that work, who should answer the calls. And like sort of also then trying to get the right numbers in so you get answered and get good customer service.
How did you come into that?
Well, I never grew up wanting to be a resource planning manager, but I suppose it's like sort of after coming out of university, it was like sort of looking for a job, and I actually went temping for a while because a lot of the places wanted experience before you could actually get a job, and it's like, well, I can't get experience unless I get a job. So I temped in the place where I've now got the job, and a permanent position came up. So I applied for that and came into it, and then it was like sort of getting a career then from there.
What did you study at university?
I studied maths, operation research and economics at Essex University in Colchester.
What was it like living there?
It was strange. It was my first time away from home. And it was a long way from home as well. It also like sort of throws you in at the deep end a little bit, because from the community where I was, it's almost like sort of very coddled, to like sort of suddenly go to places and there's like 18-year-olds who've seen the world and done lots of things. So yeah, I mean, I struggled a little bit while I was there, just to get there. But then, like, sort of, I think the sort of the social angle, like, sort of took off, and it probably, like, sort of molded me more into what I am today than, like, sort of the 18 years before, yeah.
Can you tell me a little bit about what home life consists of at the moment?
Yeah, home life at the moment, I live with my partner, Pauline. We've been living together for the last 15 years or 14 years. It's just the two of us. We met through work. She still works in the same place. We travel to work together and come home together. I do the cooking, she does the cleaning and the washing. We enjoy each other's company, and, like, sort of, that's what we do. Pauline's come up here today to support me and everything, and we like being in each other's company.
What kind of things do you like to do together?
I like going geocaching. We like going geocaching on a weekend. Geocaching is looking for boxes. As someone put it, it's using satellite technology to look for Tupperware in fields. But basically, somebody puts a box, hides it somewhere, and gives you the coordinates online. You go out with your GPS unit, follow the directions and find the box. You sign the logbook. You found it. You put a tick to say that you found it, and that's it. But I mean, it takes you to places that you wouldn't normally have gone to, and it gives you a reason for going out for a walk. You know, rather than just going for a walk and saying, "Oh yeah, that was a nice walk," it gives you some sort of purpose to it. So yeah, we enjoy doing that.
How did you get into that?
It's a bit of a gadgety thing, and I suppose it was like sort of yeah, it was something that sounded fun, so we gave it a go. And it can get very addictive as you're trying to, like, sort of, you know, you pit yourselves against other geocachers, and people who set it will try to set it in a way so that it's more difficult for somebody to find. But yeah, you know, I mean, it is just something you picked up, something I heard of on the web, and actually it was something that Book Crossing, I think you heard it from it, Book Crossing, because people left books in geocaches for people to find.
What kind of thing makes it difficult to find?
It gives you a pinpoint. I mean, it gives you the latitude and longitude, so you should be able to find it quite easily, but any, like, sort of system will give you a 10 meter radius, and that actually covers quite a big area. As well as that, you know, you try to disguise it so it's, like, sort of under stones, or it could be, like, sort of tucked in a little nook, and so sometimes they are very difficult to find, and people just get ingenious ways of so that you can't find it that easily. One of the other reasons is that people who don't do geocaching, you try to hide it from them because they can get trashed, and so it, like, sort of spoils the fun and takes the game away.
Where do these excursions take place?
They take place everywhere. Even in London there are geocaches, small geocaches that you can find. The closest one, I think, is outside Charing Cross Station. But I mean, they start off from, like, sort of something that's as small as, like, your little fingernail, up to something that's like a 2 litre box with things in. But you know, they can be, like, sort of hidden anywhere. Like finding a 35mm film canister with a magnet on it can, of course, be put down onto metal. And so you can, like, sort of put one of them there and nobody takes any notice of it. But the geocacher knows it's there and then needs to take and put it back.
Who's coming to you today?
I've mentioned Pauline, who's come up to see me. I know that there's a number of book crossers coming. I was really gobsmacked. Cassiopeia, Jackie from Cardiff is coming up. I've got someone from Swindon. There's people from Birmingham coming down to see me. I know that there's lots of London book crossers will be coming here as well today. I've also been told of three people, one from New Zealand, one from Germany, and one from Finland. They're in Britain at the moment, and so they've decided to spend a day in London today so they can come and see me as well on the plinth. So I'm really pleased with that. I mean, we've advertised it, or it's been, like, sort of publicised on the Book Crossing website. And I know there's, like, sort of lots of other book crossers around the world who'll be watching online, either on the live web feed or in the streaming afterwards.
Is there anything you would like to gain from your experience?
No, you know, I mean, I don't think there is anything I'd like to gain. I know that, like, sort of, I'll see Trafalgar Square from a different angle from a lot of people. But it really is just having that experience, you know. I mean, at the end of the day, there'll only be 2,399 other people who'll have that experience. And it's just, like, sort of, just fantastic. Just being part of it is enough for me, you know.
Is there anything that you'd like other people who watch your hour to gain?
I'd probably like them to, you know, to read more, and like sort of actually, like sort of, that's what I'm here to do, is to promote reading. And there's lots of schemes that will actually like sort of get you to do that. The Quick Reads, for instance, that's been done in the UK, is like sort of books that have been abridged, but you can pick them up and finish them in a couple of hours. Sometimes I think books can sometimes be too thick for people, and so, you know, they get to the first 200 pages and they feel they've had enough of that book and want to move on to something new. It's just finding the right book for someone and just like sort of sitting down and having the patience to go through it. But I hope, like, sort of, you know, I mean, I feel it broadens the imagination and actually makes you, like, sort of think a lot better as well. And, you know, that's all I want to do.
Have you got anything else you'd like to add?
I don't think I have. I know, like, sort of, you know, I've had weeks of excitement building up to this. And, you know, the last couple of days I've thought of nothing else. And I just know that after the event as well, I'm going to have the memory to take with me, and, you know, nobody's going to take that off me. So, yeah, I'm just pleased to be here.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.